Chapter 8. Elder Jones' Address. The afternoon's address was by Elder A.T. Jones, who called attention to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, the subject being the church, the body of Christ. Next turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, showing the church to be the body of Christ, he being the head. Now we are members of his body in being members of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, where it is more strongly stated. Now, brethren, he asked, is it a common thing to be a member of Christ's body, his flesh, his bones? Read from the 23rd verse and see the closeness of the connection between the church and Christ. Another passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Compares the church and its members to the compactness of the members, joints and bones of a human body, all working in harmony under the guidance of one will, to do the work for which it was created. Again, Colossians 2, verses 18 and 19, follows out the simile to show the completeness and closeness of the union of the various parts. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Christ is shown to be the head of the body, which is the church. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, shows the harmony that should exist in the church, that all working together in the place assigned to it, and all guided by the head, its purpose may be fulfilled, as it is stated in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, Christ is head not only of the body, but every member of the body, every man. No man is the head of any other man, but Christ is head of everyone and all. Then how many of the members of the body can perform an intelligent action independent of the head? None then in the church of Christ can perform an intelligent action unless guided by the will of Christ. Then should not every member seek always to be utterly submissive to his will, that all they do should be directed by the will of Christ? When such a condition prevails in the church, there will never be any room for contention or division among its members. The unity that Christ intends should prevail will prevail, and to such a condition the church must come, and will come soon, and there is work to be done, and done quickly. And the work cannot be properly done unless the church is harmonious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and onward, we find that none should murmur, whatever position they may be placed in. But each, finding his place, should keep it and perform his duty there, not seeking to work independently of others, but harmoniously and helpfully, one towards another. That the will of Christ may be done in the locality where the church may be. God has placed each member in his place, as it has pleased him to do, through each in the place they occupy, the work he has to be done there, even the more feeble being necessary. We cannot slight the weak ones, but we must bestow upon them more abundant honor. We clothe our body to adorn it and make it more pleasing to the eye. But the face, being the expressive feature, we leave exposed, as it needs no adornment. All then being united, all suffer and rejoice together. Further, if any member is injured, what part feels it most? Is it not the head? Then when you or I cause pain to a member of the church, who do we hurt most? Is it not Christ the head? Can we then, if we love Christ, cause him to suffer? If we slight a weak brother, pass him by, refuse to pity him, the Lord will leave us some day to find out that there is in us as great a weakness as we despise, says Mrs. White, in the one we passed by. Reading Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, we find the same thought, that all suffer or rejoice together, so that if one member is exalted, all should rejoice, aid and cooperate with him. If Christ's will prevails, this will be done. An envious man is unfit for any place, because he who envies another confesses his own inferiority. If one is occupying an inferior position acceptably, he is following out the will of Christ as fully as if he occupied the most prominent position. When the church becomes harmonious, all church trials will disappear, and Christ will have only to make known his will and perform the work he has to be done in that place, in spreading abroad the truth and saving souls in that locality.